Hello, I'm Matt, and this is episode 5 of the Plus One podcast. We are to the world of theatre what an unmiked choir boy is to the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. In each episode, I'll be discussing a current London theatre production with my Press Night Plus One, which means whichever of my friends, colleagues, or parallel universe doppelgangers fancied having their night's entertainment subsidised by the PR industry. My Plus One for this episode is arts graduate, outreach worker, and T5M.com lifestyle columnist Annie Cassou. Each week, Annie does something new to take herself outside her comfort zone and writes about it on the Fifth Medium Entertainment Network under the title of Weird Science. This week, she agreed to come with me to the Tristan Bates Theatre to see Plan D by Palestinian-Irish playwright Hannah Khalil. Not drawing any conclusions or anything, you know, just saying. You'll find a link to Annie's Weird Science column in our show notes. Warning, the following discussion contains spoilers. Right, I'm here in the bar of the Tristan Bates Theatre with Annie Cassou.
Hello.
I haven't done this before, but I'm just going to ask you, tell us your favourite play.
Okay, my favourite play would definitely have to be Tim Blake Wharton Baker's Our Country's Good.
Okay, and your favourite production that you've ever seen?
That'd easily be Out of Joints, production of Macbeth, directed by Max Stafford Clarke.
So I'm hoping that'll give people an idea of your kind of taste in theatre. So
yeah.
maybe your opinions on the show we've just seen will make sense. We'll have some kind of context.
Yeah.
So we've just seen Plan D by Hannah Khalil at the Tristan Bates Theatre, which deals with the Israeli-Palestinian situation, but never calls it that. It never refers to the country, the specific context. The idea being that it could apply to many different kind of cultural contexts. Yeah. So what did you think?
I mean, I have to admit, I'm quite ignorant where the Israeli-Palestine conflict situation is, and what this production did do is make me want to find out more about it. It filled me with curiosity, which I think is a really wonderful thing about theatre. The reason I love Our Country's Good so much is that it always really restores my faith in the transcendental force of theatre and how it can make people question the conflict in the world.
Right. Plan D, the context being that Plan D was the code name for the Israeli operation to shift Palestinians off the land that would then become the new Israel. So the play deals with one family in a village who end up being moved out of their village and uprooted and eventually have to leave the country altogether.
Yeah.
Not to give it away, but I think it's fairly obvious that that's what happens. Due to a kind of protracted terror campaign against their village, I suppose you would call it, in today's parlance.
What I did feel is that although at times I wasn't exactly sure what was going on, I shared their feeling of alienation and not knowing what was kind of unfolding around them. There's this mysterious character who's the cousin of the husband, and we don't know what his motive is. We don't know which side he's on. So in that sense, I was able to empathise.
And I mean, the context is this uprooting and the Israeli-Palestinian thing. But at heart, I thought it was built round a very kind of... It's a plot we see... I'm not going to call it an age-old plot or anything, because that's kind of derogatory, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a plot that has been seen before, but the basic kind of plot engine that's driving it is the family that seems very stable and very happy.
Yeah.
The first 5-10 minutes, we get them playing happy families. You know, the children studying for school, the father playing with them,
chasing around the kitchen,
chasing them around
just
the
being
kitchen.
Very normal. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it takes outside agency, the introduction of a stranger or the introduction of kind of political events going on in the background, to expose how fragile their existence really is and always has been. What do you think of the performances?
I felt at times they lacked credibility. I didn't believe that even before that wedge had been driven between the husband and wife, I didn't really believe that there was a stable relationship there. I didn't believe that there was so much at stake.
Yeah, I thought the performance of the grandmother was very strong.
I did as well. I think there was definitely a kind of... I mean, I'm I'm Sardinian, so I at least my parents come from that. There was a bit of that small town mentality in that village, so I can kind of, you know, I've seen that character of the grandmother who kind of stumbles around.
The matriarch.
The very matriarchal character who kind of, you know, looks out for everyone and has the garden.
Yeah.
But not literally the garden in this case, but, you know.
No, just, but in the case of the plays, yes, she's the one that carries a weapon. Yeah. What I did like her role in the social situations was to slap people about and tell them to stop being silly, which is always always refreshing in theatre when people are doing the theatre thing of wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you have a character that comes along and says, "Slap, stop it, stop being silly, and get on with it." That was always very good. And I like her physicality. I mean, it was old woman physicality, but it was very consistent. And so she was a believable character. And an interesting character. I thought performances overall lacked energy. And I mean, it's quite a large ensemble piece. It was a cast of what, seven? Six, seven. And it was an ensemble piece. The dialogue, Hannah Khalil's dialogue, is written to be quick fire, I think. That was the impression that I got from it. I didn't think there was enough cue biting. I didn't feel like people were. It didn't zing. It didn't snap back and forth between people enough.
Yeah.
There were pauses, and it felt like energy dropped in places.
I completely got that. There wasn't enough of the natural pausing and the thinking about things. I felt it was a bit too elaborate at times, and that made it lack credibility, particularly with the character of the children. I felt that maybe they were just poorly cast. I don't know.
Okay.
I really didn't believe that they were young, innocent children.
They were, slightly older performers playing down. And it was noticeable. I mean, they were taller than their mum. Both of them were taller than their mother, and I got the feeling the daughter, at least, was supposed to be playing quite significantly below the actor's age.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never explicitly said, so I don't know. That might just be an impression that I got.
Yeah. Do you think the fact that the playwright wanted it to be so universal and timeless actually meant that we left the auditorium not having gained any insight into the Palestine Israel situation?
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't know.
I mean, you come out. My major hang up with it. I thought it had some strong performances and some strong writing, at least in places. My major hang up with it was that it is about this threat. It's about these people who've been. Nobody comes to the house and says, "This is our land now. Off," you know, "or we'll shoot you." It's supposed to be a kind of, I say subtle. I mean, there are bombs and things, but it's supposed to be a kind of a campaign of terror and a campaign of paranoia that will persuade these people to just up and leave their houses, apparently of their own volition. And I never felt the threat that causes them to leave.
It's interesting, there was the one monologue with the husband character saying that he'd gone back to his old house after having been away for quite some time, I think at least a week, living in the woods camping. And he goes back to the house and he's sitting there and there's somebody living there, and he's just kind of living there as if he's always been there, as if he's always owned it. He's sitting, kicking back with a cigarette, and
I'm going to put a spoiler alert on this podcast, because that's quite near the end, and it's quite a significant moment. And I thought that was quite a strong moment.
But that's one moment where I was quite torn. I felt there was a... I don't know if I felt that was a credible threat, or...
It's
hard to imagine.
This is,
you put yourself in that situation where there's somebody in your house, your home, that you've built from scratch, literally. And
I thought that was a strong moment and a strong image.
Yeah.
I think we could have done with seeing it. So much of this stuff came from reported speech. You didn't see outside. They came back from outside the house saying, "There's a crater in the field." We never heard the bang that scared the grandmother that created the crater. We never see the crater. Obviously, we can't see the crater.
And sound is so powerful in theatre.
Yeah, I mean, there was good use of sound, howling wind and that kind of thing. But then again, there was a lot of the nephew sitting in the tree and reporting what he could see in the village, smoke rising over chimneys and things. Again, not something we could feasibly have actually seen. But then that final one, I thought we could have done with seeing it. Even if it was just to have a single performer who is only there, has no lines, but sits there and is sinister. Because reported action can be very strong and is something that the theatre does very well.
Yeah. But not when it's overused.
But yes, I don't know whether it was overused or whether it was badly scripted so that it wasn't evocative enough that we didn't feel it. But I felt like we could have done with seeing more of the threat, because I never felt the threat. I never felt that we were experiencing the threat that they were feeling. And therefore, I didn't believe that they were threatened enough to uproot themselves in that way.
I mean, it's amazing how powerful the use of sound can be. I mentioned at the start that my favourite production ever was Out of Joint's Macbeth, and that was actually set in modern war-torn Africa. And I remember when Macduff's children were killed, you heard a baby's screams coming from another room, and that was the most, that just ripped right through you. That was utterly spine-chilling. And I felt that we could have had something like that.
I mean, there was talk of wood sounds. The grandmother says, "I heard something. I thought I heard a child crying in the night. It was probably a fox." Why couldn't we have heard that? Yeah. Even if it was just sort of played over a scene change, something like that, we could have done with some spook.
Yeah.
It felt like, and there were significant decisions made as well, like the cousin's decision to stay behind and fight rather than leave and assume that everything is going to blow over. I thought should have been a really significant moment with a lot of gravitas attached to it. But I felt it kind of passed without incident. It was kind of, no, cousin, I'm staying, I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
Okay, then. And it, I don't feel that we got the significance of the moment, and
no,
I think that was a consistent thing throughout the play. What about the character of the mother? Because I'm fairly sure that I heard someone in the row behind us whispering at one point, "I don't like her," or "she's really annoying," or something along those lines. I certainly felt like she was the character that we were meant to be focusing on.
Yeah,
like that she
absolutely.
Was that she was the kind of the audience viewpoint character. Yeah.
She was the one holding the family together.
She's the one with the most illusion, she's the one that does lose the most.
But it's difficult because I felt like I could have empathised more with her if I'd had more insight into the child. And maybe it wasn't supposed to be a focus, but I wanted to know why that child that she called her nephew was in fact her child, where he'd come from. I really felt that was an important part of the plot.
Okay, so you feel like we couldn't empathise with her because we didn't actually know they were holding back too much about her situation. Okay.
But I did sort of question, in a politically correct way, but sort of the relationships within that culture, and is that normal in culture that I'm in? Children aren't slapped about. There was quite a lot of violence.
There was some slapping.
At moments it was joking, and others it was really quite serious. At one point the wife is pressed up against a wall in really, really quite a terrifying manner, so I wasn't sure if the playwright was trying to say anything about...
I don't know. I certainly felt that those were the moments... The moments of violence were the moments when suddenly I was sitting up and paying attention.
Yeah.
I don't mean that it should have been non-stop slapping about and screaming and histrionics the entire way through, but certainly, like I said earlier, I felt it lacked energy, and there were those moments when... there is a threat to a child, and the child is trying to run away. She's brought back, and the mother is sort of beating her out of worry. She's so terrified that the child was about to run away that she beats her fairly severely. And I just felt that they lent the production some energy that it was lacking.
Yeah, I did really like the kind of Brechtian use of just the body itself as a mechanism for making things happen, and nothing was disguised, nothing was elaborate, everything, the actors were also the people shifting things around.
Yeah. And I was going to mention the set as well, yeah. which I quite liked. I thought that was it was a house sketched in, yeah. and then the back wall of the house doubles very, very nicely as the woodland backdrop. I enjoyed that. I had a little smile when they relocate from the house to the woods, and just a simple bit of back projection brings up the woodland on the rear wall. I thought that was nice.
Interestingly, you were talking about lack of energy in the performances. I never for a moment believed that they were in the woods. That they were in these woods, which they pay up so much. You know, the woods are terrifying. There are hyenas. There are wolves. I didn't feel that.
I think this is the problem that we're getting to through this discussion. Is that we are told throughout we are scared. People are coming to get us. We're being driven away. The woods are scary. There are wolves. There are hyenas. There are wild boars. This is a horrible place to be. We're having a terrible time, and we don't ever see it.
No.
We never see it viscerally enough.
No, I definitely think we needed to be more shocked, and not just for the sake of being shocked, but for the sake of.
No, there are times when you need a shock for dramatic effect in order to make the world of the play real.
But you know, as I've said on a positive note, obviously there aren't many positive notes, as you can tell. But I am genuinely very curious to find out more about the situation. I'd like to fill in those gaps out of quite a lot of frustration. I want to know what it is that.
Well, that's certainly something positive to take away from it. I would assume that would be at least one of the playwright's dramatic intentions.
Yeah.
So it delivers on some score.
Yeah.
So it's not a roaring success.
No.
But. Did make you think?
Really. It did make me think, and it did make me curious. It did make me question the state of our society, but it didn't make me just want to switch off. Which I'll admit, sometimes when I'm watching the news, we are so bombarded with stories about war.
So you did engage with it on a certain level, okay?
Because I didn't feel like just kind of being.
It certainly wasn't battering us over the head with moral points, was it? So that's that's an interesting point. Any last words, any summations you want to make?
Well, I'd definitely say don't take our word for it. Come and see it for yourselves.
Plan D is at the Tristan Bates Theatre in Covent Garden until Saturday the 13th of February. Tickets are £10 full price, £7 concession, and pay what you can on Mondays. As always, the online booking link is in the show notes, along with a link to my review for the British Theatre Guide. The Plus One podcast is hosted by podbean.com and distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 2.0 England and Wales license, which means you can copy it, send it to your friends, or try to make its themes universally applicable as long as you give credit where credit's due and you don't try to charge for it. If you enjoyed this episode, why not recommend it to a friend, blog or tweet about it, or write a review on iTunes or Podcast Alley? That's it for episode 5. So until next time, don't take our word for it.